Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're working through some really timely and I think challenging material. It's from a New Year's Eve message by Brother Steve titled Christians and Antichrists, and it's all rooted in the first epistle of John.
And this message is just foundational, isn't it? I mean, for any of us trying to hold on to some conviction in a world that just seems to love confusion.
It really does.
The very idea of objective truth is, you know, constantly being questioned. And John's writing just meets that head on.
So our mission today is really to synthesize these key points. We're going to look at that stark contrast he drew between the Antichrist spirit and, well, the certainty of a true believer.
Right.
And this isn't some ancient history lesson. This is about how we anchor our faith, you know, moving forward.
Well, and it's interesting how the message started. It wasn't just abstract doctrine. It began by grounding everything in the reality of our lives together.
Mm-hmm.
It started with prayer, you know, serious medical scans for Valinda, concern for Joe Estelle, and lifting up Jim Howard's family after the loss of his sister, Barb.
Exactly. Faith isn't just theology we study. It's what holds you steady when life gets heavy. And that's precisely what this message gets to.
It is.
We even had a nice praise report from Brother Mike about, of all things, a pickleball win.
It's the perfect reminder. God is in the big things and the small things. It really sets the scene before digging into the absolute clarity of his word.
Okay, let's turn to that core content. Brother Steve started by defining the spirit of the Antichrist using three characteristics from 1 John.
That's a key distinction right there.
He's talking
about a spirit and attitude, not just the one final Antichrist.
Yes. So the first one was departure from fellowship. Antichrists, they don't stay, they leave.
And tragically, they often cause a lot of confusion and take others with them when they go.
So that raises a quorum for me. If they leave and take people with them, isn't that a weakening of the church? But the notes here say it brings greater purity. How does losing members make a church stronger?
It's such a profound point about God's sovereignty. The key insight from John is that their leaving actually reveals who wasn't truly rooted in Christ to begin with.
Ah.
The message was clear. Those who followed them out were non-believers, easily deceived. True believers persevere. They can't be permanently pulled away from the faith because they're sealed.
So the church actually becomes pure because the deceivers have self-identified and left.
Exactly. Perseverance is the test, which leads right into that second characteristic.
Denial of the faith. And this is a very specific theological denial.
Yes. Highly precise. The Antichrist spirit denies the deity of Jesus Christ. It tries to cut Jesus in half.
What do you mean cut him in half?
Well, they'll either say Christ was just a great man, a moral teacher, but only human. Or on the other side, they'll say he was only a divine spirit who just looked human.
So they reject the hypostatic union, the biblical truth that Jesus was 100% God and 100% man.
That's it. It's a denial of the very core of the gospel, which needs both his divine power and his human representation to work.
And the third characteristic flows from that. It's deception.
Mm-hmm. They don't just stay outside, they infiltrate. They come into the church with a heart of deception to mislead the faithful.
And the message had a sobering detail here, that sometimes this deception comes from the pulpit itself.
Yeah, pastors who are themselves antichrists, that's when the danger is at its highest. And to really drive this home, Brother Steve pulled in 2 Peter chapter 2.
Which gives a parallel warning.
A powerful one. Peter says these false teachers come in secretly, clandestinely, it's covert. They bring in what he calls destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them.
And that hidden strategy, it makes them so effective. The notes say Peter highlights the devastating effect. Many will follow their destructive ways.
And the consequence of that is just staggering. Because of them, the way of truth, Jesus himself, is blasphemed.
Wow. That's a heavy weight for anyone who claims to be a teacher.
It really is. It forces you to confront the idea of accountability. John's writing, inspired by the Spirit, only recognizes two camps, children of God or children of Satan.
That's a very sharp black and white distinction, something the modern world just cannot stand.
No.
How did the message square that clarity with our world's desire for nuance? I mean, doesn't that binary view just alienate people who are searching but confused?
The sermon was firm on this, drawing from John. Being deceived is not presented as an ultimate excuse. The point is, God has provided the truth, sufficient light. To choose a lie, no matter how nicely it's packaged, puts a person outside of salvation.
So you're either covered by the blood of Christ or you're not.
It's at the end of the day, yes.
That's stark clarity. Yeah. It actually explains why the world assumes there's no such thing as the word truth.
Absolutely. The watching world, as he put it, looks at what we call Christianity, and it sees this huge contradictory mess.
Right. You have everything from Catholicism to Mormonism all under one umbrella. The first question you get is, okay, but what kind of Christian are you?
Because the world sees no unified truth. And that confusion is fueled by the two extremes that Brother Steve identified within the faith community.
Two poles that are completely different, but both create skepticism.
Right. The first one he called mindless fundamentalism. This is the cult-like stuff, where people act like robots blindly following a leader.
Total control. Like those groups where members can't leave a compound, they're cut off from family. It's spiritual control to an extreme.
And then you have the complete opposite. Pseudo-intellectual liberalism.
That's the Church of Universalism, the idea that God is too loving to send anyone to hell, so everyone makes it in the end.
Pretty much, yeah. It's where you can believe almost anything as long as it feels inclusive. If all roads lead to heaven, then, you know, a singular truth just vanishes.
So when the world sees rigid legalism on one side and anything goes on the other, it concludes that truth must be subjective.
And that conclusion is propped up by these destructive philosophies in our culture. We have to talk about them because it's the air we breathe.
First, postmodernism.
Which is just the rejection of any universal truth, any big story that explains everything.
It demands blurring all the boundaries, moral, philosophical, even biological. So truth becomes a purely subjective feeling. This is where you get the idea that a person can just pick their own gender, rejecting objective reality.
And you pair that with existentialism, the belief that life has no inherent meaning, so you're terrifyingly free to just create your own purpose and values.
Right. Be your authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
And when you combine those two, no fixed truth, and this pressure to invent your own meaning,
you
see the real world consequence.
The anxiety.
The anxiety, exactly. So many people are like a ship without an anchor, just blown about to and fro by every new idea because they have nothing solid to hold on to.
And they're looking for water in empty wells. Which brings us back to the chilling description of Antichrist in 2 Peter.
Mm.
Peter says they are like natural brute beasts or unreasoning animals, driven only by instinct, destined for destruction.
The illustration used in the message was so intense. He said you'd be better off in a lion's den than in a liberal Christian church.
Because a lion only destroys the body. False teaching destroys the soul. And their motivation, Peter says, is just covetousness. Money, fame, prestige.
It's not for eternal value.
No. They're wells without water. They promise refreshment but offer nothing. They're spiritually empty and destined for the blackness of darkness forever.
That is a really stern warning. So given that, let's turn to the security offered to the true Christian. This is the antidote.
Yes. A much needed assurance. The first point of security is that true Christians are not deceived. True believers persevere.
And it's so important to distinguish between doubt and denial here. A real Christian might doubt.
Of course.
You go through testing, you have questions, but doubt is not denial. You can't permanently abandon the truth if the anointing remains.
That's the key. Denial is a willful rejection. Doubt is questioning inside the faith. Which brings us to the second point. True Christians accept the faith.
Meaning you have to know and believe the core of the gospel for salvation.
You do. And the historical context here is fascinating. John was writing against the pre-Gnostics. They called themselves the knowing ones.
Gnosko, right, to know.
Exactly. They saw themselves as an elevated intellectual class. They claimed to have this esoteric divine knowledge. A special anointing with secret truths the average believer couldn't get.
And John's response to that spiritual elitism is just so powerful.
It is.
He insists that all believers have an anointing from the Holy One, from Christ. The learned, the simple, everyone.
Is the indwelling Holy Spirit given equally to every single person who receives the true gospel. It's our guarantee, like a king's signet ring on a document, authenticating that we belong to him.
And that gives us freedom from spiritual insecurity. If you're saved, you lack nothing essential. You know all you need to know for salvation.
Exactly. We don't need to be intimidated by people claiming to have some superior secret knowledge. The secret has already been revealed.
Because the Holy Spirit is the ultimate teacher. He's the author of scripture.
Mm-hmm. There's no hidden code in the margins of your Bible. Everything necessary for life and salvation is right there in the Word. If you have the Spirit, you have the teacher.
This gives so much clarity. We have to recognize this anti-Christ attitude in the world and even in some churches, but then find our security in the fact that the Holy Spirit teaches us all truth. We're sealed by that anointing.
And that security has to lead to urgency. Brother Steve really emphasized that when a person dies today, that is their final judgment.
There's no second chance, no waiting room.
None. The moment of death seals their destiny.
That absolute finality just brings home the challenge he gave for the new year. We have to remember the people who are lost and undone, who don't have this anchor we've been talking about.
The end of the message was so simple, but it carries all the weight of eternity. All they need is Jesus.
And not more philosophy.
Not more subjective meaning or secret knowledge. They just need the Son of God.
So we encourage you, seek him in his word. Rely on that indwelling spirit to change lives, yours and others. Let's be that salt and light in a world that is so desperately looking for an anchor of truth.